Okay, we start the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet, four lines up on the bottom, but the word Tznan is the last word on the line. Tznan. Aval Amru, Misha Para Midor HaMabul, Hu Atid Libera, Misha Ein, O Meid B'diburo. So even though there may be no restriction against reversing the transaction, nevertheless, there is the curse placed upon someone who does. It's not considered to be the appropriate action. So Iyamart Bishlama Ma'ot Konot, if you say that Ma'ot Konot, Mishum Hachi Kai Bava, then it makes sense that the restriction here is a problem of Bava. Aval Iyamart Ma'ot Enon Konot, Amai Kai Bava. Why is there a problem of Bava? Meaning, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, which is Midoraisa Ma'ot Konot, right, and the only reason that we instituted the Mishicha is in order to prevent, right, the Gzerat, the Tachanat, to prevent the problem of Nisrichu Chitecha Ba'aliyah, then we can understand why, in the instance where you created a Kinyan, Min HaTorah would have been a good Kinyan, but the Chachamim were Mafkia that Kinyan, then you can understand why they say that Aval, they have the curse for someone who reverses their position. The other hand, if you believe, like Reish Lakish, that the only Kinyan is Kinyan Mishicha, with a lack of Mishicha, then why is there, right, any reason to say Aval? I mean, what created or what solidified the transaction here? So the Gemara says, Mishum Devarim, because of their words, meaning that their agreement. They spoke, they said they were going to do something, so that should be sufficient. The Gemara says, Devarim Mikai Bava. Is simply speaking or committing to do something enough to be subject to the curse of Aval Amru? Mishapara, Vatanya, we have a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Avo pishamru talit kone dinar zahav ve'en dinar zahav kone talit. So even though we say that a talit can be kone dinar zahav because the talit is metatalin, hirot, kli, whatever the need is to be chalipin against zahav here, dinar zahav relative to a talit is classified as currency. So they're going to acquire the currency. On the other hand, ve'en dinar zahav kone talit. On the other hand, a dinar zahav is unable to accomplish or acquire a talit. Mikomakom, kach alaka, aval amru mishe parah manchei dor mabul, umanchei dor aflaga, umanchei stom biamora, umemitzrayim bayam, hu atid parah mishe eno made b'diburo. So right, even though that's the alaka, right, that you can't, that the transaction is not considered sealed, complete, when you do a dinar zahav versus a talit, nevertheless you're subjected to the curse, and here it's even more expansive. You know, Misha Para, Andrei Dora Mabul,
the same
right, the Dora Mflaga, the Stomba Mora, Mitzrayim Bayam, all of these, right, so added on two additional, right, who are Tili Para, Misha No Made Bidru. Vi, Hanose, Vinotain, Bidvarim, Lokana. They're simply, right, an exchange of words or agreements, all in speech, then there is no Kinyan. Vachoser Bo, Enwa Chachamim Nochemen. Ah, so here, if he reverses his position, then we say that Ruach Chachamim Eino Nochem Imenu.
But we don't curse it.
Oh, V'amar Ravo, Anu Ein Lanu El Ruach Chachamim Nochem Imenu. That's exactly what Rav is saying, that what does it mean that Ruach Chachamim Eino Nochem Imenu means not Aval Amru, but simply that the Chachamim don't like people who act in this way. Why? Because, right, that B'nai Yisrael, it says, Shirita Lo Yasu Avla, right, that they will not speak, right, inappropriately, they won't do that which is inappropriate. If a person makes a commitment, the person says what they're going to do, then we should they should stand by their word. All right, now, Mer says, Dvarim, v'ikar b'hatayu ma'ot, koyi ba'aval. So no, there is different types of Dvarim.
This is the answer?
Right, yeah, this is the answer, which is, if simple words or speech with, right, in conjunction with a kinyan ma'ot, then they take on enough tokif to be subject to the curse of a vav. Dvarim, but lack of a dayo ma'ot, simple dvarim, without any ma'ot, lo kai ba'aval. That, right, is no aval. Right, so when we talk about keeping your word, this person has committed, should keep their word. In wa chamim no chayimenu, person who doesn't do this, then We don't appreciate it, we don't like it, it's not the right way to behave. On the other hand, you're not subject to the curse of Aval. But if in addition to the speaking or the commitments or the agreements that you came to, there was some sort of kinyan, even though mitoras halakha, mitoras kinyanim, it has no effect, kinyan ma'ot, nevertheless it gives additional tokif to the agreement or additional, right, samchut, kimirat adat, not halachically, but from a right, commitment standpoint, and because of that, you'll be subject to the, right, the you're subject to aval amru. You'll be subject to aval amru. So now, if you say, now again, what is, so then how do we explain the braisa? Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, Ve'en dino zahav kone atalit. Right? A dino zahav is not kone atalit, but someone who does that, right, gets a mishapara. So why does he get a mishapara? But an osev notem mitarim lo kana. So what's the difference between, right, the dinar zahav and the talit and the osev notem mitarim? It's exactly that. In one case you have ma'ot konot, in one case you don't have ma'ot konot, even according to Rish Lakish. And now, Amar Rava, kra umatnita misayla de Rish Lakish. Rava says that we have both a pasuk and, right, a braisa that supports the position of Reish Lakish. The position of Reish Lakish is that the only kinyan min HaTorah is kinyan mishifa. Kinyan ma'ot, right, doesn't have any bearing. Why? Because the crop, the pasuk says, here's by the, by Shvat HaPikadon, right, it says, k'tiv, v'kichesh ba'amito. A person who denies having a pikadon, right, having some sort of object that was placed with him to watch, right, o b'tzumet yad, right, o b'gazel, o ashaket amito, tzumet yad. So what are these, what are all these objects here? What are these things that he's lying about? Some things that he's lying about that he didn't do, right? So we have pikadon, which we just mentioned. He's a shomer, he was a shomer for something. He's lying that he didn't have the object. Tzumet yad is that halva, that he has a loan, that he claims that he never took out. Gazel, right, that he stole something, claims not to have it. Ashaket amito, ashaket amito is the general schar sachir, that he withheld payment for Baalim, he withheld the wages of somebody. Now, in this case, he's lying about all these items, right? When he's lying about these items, what does it mean that he lied about them? So, tzumet yad, amar of chisda, what's the case here by tzumet yad? But there's no object there. All we're talking about is money. If we're talking about money, then, you know, I mean, that's a, first of all, that's a problem for Reish Lakish because there's no kinyan here. What did he do when he's lying about the money? How does he? There's no kinyan yad. So Rav Chisda says, "Gon shiicha do kli lahavato." It is miyached a kli for the havaa, and because he was miyached kli, the denial is on that kli. Ashak, Amar Rav Chisda, "Gon shiicha do kli loshko." Right. So that he also, again, he was miyached a kli for the skar sachir. V'chia adrikra. Then when we look later on in the pasuk afterwards, when it goes back over the list, it says k'tiv, vaya ki yachtav asham, right? And when he decides, you know, that he's found, he decides that he wants to admit he found guilty and he wants to repay it, v'shiv eta gzeila asher gazal, o eta ushek asher ashak, o eta pigadon asher hafkid hufkad ito. Right. So there in that list, one of them is missing. The original list had pigadon, tzumet yad, gazal, and right, oshek. And over here in the next list, it only has, right, pikadon, gazel, and oshek. It's missing tzumet yad. Kilo tzumet yad, lo hadre. That's not found in the pasuk. My taima. What's the reason that it's not there? La mishom de mechzira, meshicha. What is it? It's missing a kinyan meshicha. So that's the problem. Tzumet yad doesn't have a, there's no kinyan meshicha over here. But like if you're right, you say tzumet yad. Tzumet yad is halva'a, right, is a loan. V'amar Rav Chisda, k'gon sheyicha do alove kli aleha. The alove gave him a kli. Tav yedubya de pikadon. Deif kafar v'halva'a gredita. If he just denies having a loan, lo mechayiv karban shvua, ho v'nitna lo hotza'a. Because it's nitna lo hotza'a. The denial has to be about an object that is present and that is able to be used to repay. So over here, there's a kli that the love had designated to repay the malve. But the Malveh never made a kinyan on that kli. Since he never made a kinyan on the kli, meaning according to...
Yeah,
it was in the case of... Oh, so Amar le Rapapa le Rava ima mioshek. Dude who? The Hadar Kra. So what are you going to do about the Oshek? Right, that the pasuk did go over it. Right, and over there you have the same problem. There's a lack of...
Kinyan.
There is a lack of kinyan, lack of mishicha. Even though, again, the problem, if it was simply that he owed the sachar sachir, that he owed the money... There he wouldn't be chayiv a karban shvua. On the other hand, right, if he was miyached a kli, we do say he's chayiv a karban shvua, like Rav Chisda says. But the same problem exists. There was no kinyan over here. So hafa ma'iskina. What's the case here? Gon shnat lo menu b'chazro b'fkido etzlo. That he took it from him, right? That he actually took the object and then chazro b'fkido etzlo, and then he gave it back to him as a pikadon. Alright? So Gemara says, Hainu Pikadon. Then yeah, that is a Pikadon. Meaning that here, the Loveh has a Kli that he's going to give to the Malveh. He hands it to the Malveh. The Malveh makes a Kenyan Mishika on it. Then after the Kenyan Mishika, he hands it back to the Loveh and leaves it as a Pikadon with him. So now, what is he making the carbon? What is he bringing the carbon shvuah on? He's bringing carbon shvuah because there's a pikadon. Somar says that's also pikadon. Somar says trei kavne pikadon. Right, there are two types of pikadon. Somar says hihaki. If that's the case, then we can create the exact same thing. Mitzumet yadami. Right, hadre velukme. Right, so then go over it. Let the pasuk repeat it, and we'll set it up. Yom shnat lo imenu v'chazar v'kido etzlo. Come up with the exact same case by. It, since Sumet Yad and Sechars and Oshik are basically relying on the same principles, they're both just monetary obligations. Rav Chisda says in both of these instances, the only way to make them into the only way for them to have a Karban Shivuah is to have a Pikadon, right? And that, or not a Pikadon, but something, a Kli that is designated. And if there's a Kli that's designated, we're saying that the failure by Halva, with the Kli that's designated, is no Kinyan Meshicha. And the same failure should apply by Oshek, right? By Sechar Sechir. And if you're going to explain, oh, no, we have an explanation for that. By Sechar Sechir, he took out the Kli, then he gave it to the Malveh, and then the Malveh handed it back to him. So that solution that's used by Sechar Sechir, you could also use by Halva. The two should be equal. I mean, there's no reason you can't use them by both. Where it says, right? Lo tiyufta v'lo siyata. You're right. Had the pasuk repeated tumet yad, right, then it would have been true. There would have been no proof and no help to Reish Lakish. But now, the fact that now that the pasuk did excluded it, right, misayile, right, so that therefore it's a help. Meaning that, you're right, eno chanami. Had the pasuk repeated tumet yad, we would explain tumet yad the same way we explain oshek. But the fact that the pasuk leaves it out, right? You have to explain it now. Why did the pasuk leave it out? So according to Reish Lakish, there's an easy way to explain why it's left out, because there was no kinyan mishicha in this instance. There's no kinyan mishicha in this instance. That's why it's left out of the pasuk. Had the pasuk written it, you're right. We could have come up with a case just like Oshek, and we would have solved the problem. But the lack of repetition in the pasuk is what shows you that that's not what the pasuk thinks. The pasuk thinks something else, and it thinks like Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara is going to challenge, is it really true that the Pasuk does not really go back, or does not repeat it? Right, so the Gemara says, Uchumet Yad, right, Lo Hadrek Ra, did the Pasuk really not repeat Halva'a? V'hatanya, we have a Braisa, Amrab Shimon, Minayin, Litain, Tamur, Lamata. How do you know that everything was included in the first Pasuk? It's also included in the second Pasuk, Dichtiv, O Mikol Asher Yishabah, Lav L'Shaker. Right, so there's like a roundup at the end. Which is anything that you would take a false shvuah. What was defined as a false shvuah was already defined in the first pasuk. In the first pasuk, it has those four items. So therefore, what's missing? The three items are enumerated. The fourth item that's missing is included in mikol sheishavah lav l'sheker. So that's one. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baruchuna, Amar Rav Rabot shumet yad lehishavon behetya. I said b'lishavon. So that comes. That's exactly what it comes. So Shimon, the only thing that's missing from the pasuk is shumet yad. So that extra, the words there at the end of the pasuk of Mikol HaShishvah, I love the Sheker, that's what it comes to include, is Tumet Yad. So it is written there. So it says, no, Behedja, Mi'alo, Hadri Kwa. Right, so, alright, there's still a difference. Right, the difference is that the other examples are written explicitly, and this example is only hinted to in the pasuk. Why is it that these are written explicitly and the other ones only hinted to in the pasuk? And we know we can come up with a scenario of how it could work, just like Oshek, we can do it for Tumet Yad. Nevertheless, the Torah described them in different ways. In three of them, it gave explicit repetition. The other one, it just kind of snuck it in underneath. In fact, it snuck it underneath. It's coming to teach you, or coming to indicate to you, like Reish Lakish, that only Mishifa is Konet. Masnita Minalan, where's the Tanakh support for Reish Lakish's position? The Tanya of Abraisa. Natnal of Alan Ma'al. So here we're talking about money of Hekdesh, where he's giving it over as payment. He's using it as payment. And when he uses it as payment, he's going to be Mo'el, right, in Hekdesh. So he gives it to the director of the bathhouse, the person who's running by the bathhouse, Vamarav, Davka Balan, who, Delo Mechsera Meshicha, Avamida Achrita, De Mechsera Meshicha, Lomal Ad Moshech. So Rav defines over here, or indicates that what is the example that's brought in this price. So the example brought in this price is giving it to someone who works at the bathhouse. Why?
Because when you go into work in the bathhouse, all you're missing is once you pay the money, then it gives you access to the bathhouse. You go into the bathhouse, you go into the water, you can use the towels, and everything that you need to use is there already. There's no need, there's no chisaron in the kinyan, because you pay money to the levalan, and then it's done. You enter. Whereas any other profession, when it comes to that profession, not only is there payment for the service, but the service involves some sort of other item that has to be used. So the example is, or other examples are, for instance, if you go to a barber, or if you go to a sofer, all these professionals have something with them that's, for instance, scissors that are used to cut the hair. Or there's by a sofer, he has the kumus, he has the items that he uses, the cloth that he uses. In those cases, there is a chisaron. The payment of money is not final, because you could also do a kinyan mishicha on the item that he's going to use to execute or to do what he is professionally assigned to do. So Rav narrows the case down to balan, where he has no other item to use. The profession is simply letting you into the bathhouse, warming up the water, keeping it there. Yet there's nothing else you can make a kinyan on. That's why ma'ot makes it a final transaction. So on the other hand, everywhere else it would not be final. What does that indicate? That indicates like Reish Lakish, that you do need mishicha in order to finalize any transaction. V'atanya. Well, isn't there a problem? We have a price that explicitly says, not the safar. If you give it to a barber, ma'al. So this would undermine what Rav just said, that it's unique to valan, and not something that applies to other professions. So if you say, not the safar ma'al, but safar, habay lam shich tisporet. Right there, by the... is that by the barber, there is something to pick up, right? There is something to pick up, which is the scissors, right? You can make the kinyan on the scissors, and the kinyan on the scissors would finalize the transaction, make it irreversible. It says, "Hakol ma'iskinan b'sapar nachri t'lav bar mishichahu." Talking about a non-Jewish barber. So a non-Jewish barber, then a non-Jewish barber is unable to make the kinyan mishicha because, right, the source, what's the source for Reish Lakish, who says that Kinyan Shiv Adams of the Torah, it says, Chitim Kum Memkar, Lamitecha, Okana, Amiyad Amitecha. Right, so Amitecha and Amitecha. When it comes to the Pasuk, it's not only talking about Amitecha. Where does Kinyan Mashicha work? Only by a Jew. By Nachri, Kinyan Mashicha does not work. So therefore, Reish Lakish will explain the case of the barber as being a non-Jewish barber. I mean, so nobody does hear that the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, right, that one is not allowed to be in this barber, a non-Jewish barber. Right, those are other issues with a non-Jewish barber. But nevertheless, Reish Lakish solves the problem and says that the Braisa, right, is a proof by the bathhouse. That is only a case by the Braisa. The case of Safar is a totally different case. It's a case where it's talking about an Achri. So now, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a brisa that supports this position. They're right, not a sapar or a sapan. So it gives it to a barber or to a sailor or a captain. Oh, the whole balei umanut, right? Any other balei umanut, lo ma'al. Right over there, he's not ma'al. Ad de mashach. Until he takes the mashicha, kini mashicha. Kashina adadi. Right, so then there's a problem. Why the price that repeats, one price by the Sephar says you're Mo'el right away, the other one says that you're only Mo'el after Kinya Meshicha. Alav Shema Mina, Kan Sephar Nachri, Kan Sephar Yisrael Shema Mina. We have to differentiate between a Jewish barber, where Kinya Meshicha is applicable, and there it needs the Kinya Meshicha in order to work, Ma'ot don't work. On the other hand, by a Nachri, it works the opposite way. Ma'ot work, and Meshicha doesn't work. So it turned out, according to Reish Lakish, right, according to Reish Lakish, Kinyan Meshicha is the Kinyan Min HaTorah, it's the Iker Kinyan Min HaTorah, but it only applies to Jews, right? Therefore, an Achri can't use a Kinyan Meshicha, and an Achri can use, or must use, what's the only Kinyan they have, is a Kinyan Mamon, Kinyan Ma'ot. So according to Reish Lakish, a Kinyan Ma'ot works by a non-Jew, and a Kinyan Meshicha works by a Jew. It says, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman also said, Dvar Torah Ma'ot Kanot. Right, that Devar Torah, Ma'ot Kanot, means that Rav Nachman now is passing like Rabbi Yochanan. So now we have Rova, who is passing like Reish Lakish, and we have Rav Nachman, who is passing like Rabbi Yochanan. So you have two Batras, you have two Amarim Batras, one is passing like Reish Lakish, and one is passing like Rav Yochanan. Ubot ko Levi but Nite, right, and Levi went and checked through his, you know, the Limud and his bright oat. Ashkach, and he found, not a siton, ma'al. He gives it to a siton that is ma'al. A siton is a wholesaler. right? A big wholesaler, and therefore you're not buying in small quantities, you're buying in large quantities, right? If you're giving it to a siton and you're ma'al right away, right? So then why is that? That's going to be a problem for Reish Lakish, because here you're giving it to a siton, you're giving it to this wholesaler, and all that you require in order to have the kinyan over here, in order for the me'ila to be affected, is to simply give him the money. Meaning that if the transaction is not complete when you give him the money, you need a mashicha, then giving him the money will not be me'ila, because you haven't done anything with the money yet. The only way you can be mo'el is if you actually do something functional with the money. If the kinyan is finalized, and the transaction is finalized when you give him the money, that would be me'ila. So here's an indication that, here you give it to a siton, you could be konet, because there is a possibility of doing a kinyan mishicha. And since we don't require kinyan mishicha, we say ma'ot is sufficient, right? That sounds like a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. Right? It's a problem for Reish Lakish. That's a elokash Reish Lakish. Amachar Reish Lakish. Hamani Reb Shimon. Reish Lakish, what we said before, right? The bottom of yesterday's daf. Reish Lakish says, I can't fit into Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. Reb Shimon definitely believes that ma'ot kanot vidoraisa. And I don't hold like Reb Shimon, I hold like the Chachamim. So now Reish Lakish has a way out. Anytime you find a braisa that sounds not like Reish Lakish, it's Reb Shimon. You can just say Reb Shimon, the author did, and I don't have a problem. So that's exactly what Reish Lakish does over here. Says that the author of this is Reb Shimon. Now, in terms of Psak Halacha, there's this large tosis over here that deals with the Psak Halacha. Right, whether Ma'ot Kanot should be passed like Rabbi Yochanan, or should be passed like Reish Lakish. Right, so then, the first thing Tosas asks beforehand, he says, first of all, why is it Reish Lakish solve the problem and say that we're talking about a Siton Nachri? We're talking about a non-Jewish wholesaler. I mean that, according to Reish Lakish, you can get out of Kinyan Mashicha anytime you want, because you just say that it's a Nachri who doesn't have a Kinyan Mashicha. So that's why it works. Why don't you say that? So he says the word Siton in general means that you're dealing with liquids. That it's a liquid wholesaler. And a liquid wholesaler is going to be dealing with yayin and shemen. Right, wine and oil. Yeshemin here is even before the gzerah, before they reverse the gzerah of shemen. And therefore, dealing with liquids, you can't have an achri. You couldn't be buying from an achri. Therefore, it must be a Jewish wholesaler. So that's why Reish Lakish has to come up with a different answer. That's Reb Shimon, and not a achri. Then afterwards, Rabbeinu Tam posek halacha k'Rav Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Afalpi, that you have Rava, who's a batra, bringing a pasuk and a braisa that's Messiah the Reish Lakish. It's because kind of the Chorah, right, that's what it sounds like. Rabbi Yochanan, there are ways to solve the problem like Rabbi Yochanan, right? And Masnisanami Mukilo Lebalan Nachri Kedeparashti. Tosfos believes that Yosef over here, you could say that the Valan over here is a Valan Nachri. So a Valan Nachri, according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, that will solve the problem, because by Valan Nachri, when you're dealing with artisans or professionals that are Nachrim, then Rabbi Yochanan is the opposite than Reish Lakish. How is it? Reish Lakish believes that the kinyan that works for Jews is the kinyan Mishicha. Kinyan that works for non-Jews is the kinyan Kesef, kinyan Ma'ot. Rabbi Yochanan is the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan, the kinyan Ma'ot is what works for Jews, and therefore a kinyan Mishicha is what's going to work for non-Jews. So all you have to do is to get Rav's deal out of the Brisa. The Rav's deal is out of the Brisa. It only works by Balan, Ma'ot Konot, because there is no Kinyan Mishicha. By other professions, Kinyan Mishicha would work. So all Rabbi Yochanan has to do is set up and say that we're talking about a Balan Nachri. Talking about a Balan Nachri, then other professionals are also Nachrim. Other professionals are Nachrim, Rabbi Yochanan agrees, need a Kinyan Mishicha. So you can answer the problem, or you can explain the Brisa according to Rabbi Yochanan as well. So Rabbeinu Tam, since you can explain the braisa according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can explain the pasuk according to Rabbi Yochanan, with Rabbi Shimon, who explained the top that it really it is included through Metiyad. And therefore, right, we can explain, even though Rabbi says, and he's a batra, says Allah is like Reish Lakish, because it should be like Reish Lakish, because of braisa and pasuk, since we can explain both of them. Plus we have Rav Nachman. Now Rav Nachman, right, is important, because Rav Nachman's a dayan, and we have a general principle that by dinei mamonos, the Allah is like Rav Nachman. And that's what we said over here. Aval yesh ledakdek halacha k'Rav Yochanan, the Rav Nachman, halachas kavatei b'dinin. When it comes to dinim, the halacha is always like Rav Nachman, svir lekatei. V'chein, and we had earlier on, the Ravuna is svir like Rav Yochanan. Right? Because why yesterday, at the beginning of yesterday's daf, we also had the two quotes in the name of Ravuna who said, machodli be'elu kana, v'esha lavona. Right? So that if you say machodli be'elu with this money that I'm handing you, right, it should work. Right, so that, machodli be'elu, if you say that it's a kinyan ma'ot, if you say that it's working through kinyan ma'ot, or chalipin looking like ma'ot, then it makes sense. Right? But if you're holding like Reish Lakish, right, then it would not work. We said there that the reason Rav Huna says it works, and it's not because it's Kenyan Chalipin, it's because it looks like Kenyan Chalipin, is because he believes like Rabbi Yochanan that Ma'ot are Karot. And Rechen Amar Chista, right, by Chista, we just saw at the end of yesterday's daf, who says that they were metaking a Meshicha by the Lokeach and the Mocher, both of them have that opportunity, said the only way to explain that is if you believe that Kenyan Meshicha is only meet the Rabbanan. Kenyan Meshicha is the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan goes there, or metaking both for the Lokeach and for the Mocher. And then if you believe that Kenyan Meshicha is Midoraisa, then, you know, how could you suggest that we were to metaken by both? Either they both don't have it or they both do have it, whether it's Ma'ot or Meshicha. So therefore we have a number of Amoraim who are now passing like Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chista, Rav Huna, and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman who carries a lot of weight in Dine. Rav Nachman is like Rabbi Yochanan. I won't do the rest of the Tosfos. The rest of the Tosfos deals with problems that there are other places in Shas where it seems to be that a Nachri is Koneh. Right, in other places, the Nachri is Koneh. Right, Ben Mamon. And if Nachri is Koneh, Ben Mamon, that sounds like Rish Lakish. If Nachri is Koneh, Ben Mamon, that's where
Rish Lakish. Why do you have to say that, just because Rish Lakish says that Meshicha is Koneh for a Jew and it doesn't work? He has a reason why Meshicha doesn't work very well, because the limo that he makes in front of us in the bus, it says, so he has to say that that's exclusive to the Jews.
So I'll jump ahead, but that's what you should explain. Tosfos deals with this problem, which is that in other places in Shas, right, that it seems to be that the Shas Paskin, that Kenyan Mamon works by a Nachri. Kenyan Mamon works like a Nachri, that sounds like Reish Lakish. Now, Shaul is content, it says, our contention, that the Kenyan by Reish Lakish, it says, Amikacha works by Meshicha, only works by Jews, so therefore Mamon works by Goyim. But Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have that equivalent. The opening says, right, Ma'ot Kanot, he doesn't necessarily have that limitation of, right, Amitefa. And that's in the end, that's what Tosfos says, very good. Rav Reb Chaim Farish, he says, the Efshar, the Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ot Kanot, Benachri, Kamol B'Yisrael. That's right, they're not Chanam. Maybe Kenyan Ma'ot works by a Nachri, just like it works for a, right, Jew. Chenis Bor Ravashi, and that's it. So that he would say, and then you use the word Amitefa, Amitefa is for Ona. Deals with Ona, who do you have to return Ona? And that might have to do with Gezel Kanani Asur, Gezel Kanani Mutar, might have to do with another issue entirely. So therefore, Tosfos is willing to entertain something along the lines of what Shaul was suggesting now, which is that Rabbi Yochanan might actually hold that Ma'ot is the grand Kinyan. It works for both Jews, non-Jews works entirely, and that way he'll solve the problem of Psach being passing like Rabbi Yochanan, despite the fact that in other places we see that a Kinyan Ma'ot works by a Nechri. Right? He has other questions, I'm not going to delve into them, that is Shaykh Tawar Sugya here. Right now, continuing in the Gemara, Aval Amru Mishapara, Itmar, Abaye Amar, Odia Modinin Le. Then not that we literally curse him, but rather we indicate to him, we tell him, this is what happens to someone who acts in this manner. And that basically you're taking on the midot of these people, and you're acting in a manner that's inappropriate, and you know what Hashem did to these people? That you can expect the same for yourself. Rav Amar Milat Laitinin Le. Rav says, no, we actually curse him. That's it. Abaye Amar, Odia Modinin Le. How do you know that? Dichtiv, Nasivam Chalu Taor. Right? You're not allowed to curse people. Right? We don't go willy-nilly, we don't curse people. Rav Amar, Milat Laitinin Le. Well, the Pasuk says something specific. You're right, willy-nilly we don't. Because if they bamcha, says Nasi bamcha, but Osei Masei Amcha, when you act appropriately, then we don't curse you. But if you act inappropriately, we do curse you. Now, Tosfos points out here that this is not a blanket heter to curse this guy. Right, that it's unique. When we say Osei Masei Amcha, Lo Mikre Hai In Osei Masei Amcha Le'in Yad Shein Mutar LeKalalo B'Chinam, that you can just, everybody can walk around now and curse this individual. Give a Kalalo Mechapazeh B'Misha Pora. It's specific about this violation that you can give him a curse. It doesn't open him up.
The curse you're giving him is Misha Pora.
Right, we don't, there's a very, very specific, there's Misgeret. It's not that we open up Pandora's box here and allow people just to do whatever they want. Amarava, Mena Aminolo, I can prove to you that I'm right. Why? So Rechir Bar Yosef, right, they gave him money. Somebody paid him money to sell salt. So, Iyaker Milcha, in the end, the value of the salt went up. So, of course, what does he want to do? He wants to back out of the transaction. He wants to back out of the transaction because the value of the land, the value of the land went up. Or, I'm sorry, not the value of the land, I'm thinking in my mind. You know why? Because Ramat Gimel. Ramat Gimel was this case. Here was the city did an auction. And after they did the auction, right, the prices of property, Beit Shemesh exploded, and the price of property went up. So the city didn't want to stand, and they wanted to redo the auction. They said the auction was wrong, because the prices of property went up in an extreme amount. So they have the same thing here. What does he have? So the same thing happened here. They had milk, they had salt that he sold. All of a sudden, the price of salt jumped. So he wants to back out of the transaction, because then he could sell the salt at a much higher price. So after the Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan, so they went to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Zil Havelu says, you don't have a choice. Why is Rabbi Yochanan the sheet today? That Ma'ot are Konot. Right? If Ma'ot are Konot, then you gotta give it back to him. Vilo Kabilach Mishapara. And if not, you have to take on Mishapara. So Mar says, Via Mart Udil Motinle. If you think that we have to tell him, we're gonna indicate him that that's what's gonna happen. Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef Bar Udil. I mean that he needs to know this is Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef. Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef is not he's a Talmud Chacham. He knows that what the outcome is. He knows the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you don't stand by your word, you're going to get Misha Parah. So it must be that that the indication of Rabbi Yochanan was that if you don't do this, we're going to have to curse you, and not simply that he was indicating to him what happens to someone who doesn't hold by his word. So he says Elamai. So what is he saying to him? So he says Elamai Milad Latinim Light. So what do you mean that if Rav Chir Bar Yosef knows the Mishnah, he knows that if you don't stand by your word after Ma'ot or Konot, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get a Misha Parah. So now, what is he showing up to Rabbi Yochanan to do? He's making himself available to get cursed? I mean, that it doesn't make any sense. If you think he knows the information in order not to need to inform him,
why would he ask the question?
Right, why does he come to Rabbi Yochanan to get, listen, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm now available to be cursed because I'm now going to go back on the transaction. That makes no sense, right? Right, so, Vilag Latinale, Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef, Akali Kabuli Alei Lituta de Rabbana, right, he's showing up to get his curse, right there. Ella, Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef, a Ravon Hu de Ayifle. Alright, so now, this is the problem. It was not a complete transaction, it's not a simple transaction. He gave him an Eravon. So now, the Eravon that was given over here, which is that it's some sort of down payment, right, on the object. There's a down payment that's given. Right, hu savar, kenegdo hu koneh. That when you give an Eravon, right, then against the Eravon, that you are koneh. You cannot reverse, you cannot back out of the transaction against the amount that Eravon that's given.
Yeah, if Moses are koneh, they're only koneh.
Koneh the value that has been given, right. Right, that no. That Eravon can be looked at in one of two ways. Right, the down payment can be that it locks in that which the down payment is made for, or it can say that the down payment is indicative of a complete right transaction here. And the complete transaction, that the rest I owe you, I have a ha, right, that you I owe you money, I have a chiv to pay you, but nevertheless the transaction's been completed in its entirety. So that's what was the Rabbi Yosef thought, Eravon, so I would have to pay them the salt. I'll give them the amount of whatever they gave me, the Eravon that they gave me, I'll give them the salt against that. The remainder I'll back out of the transaction because that there's no commitment, there's no kinyan on that. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, once they gave you that payment, they gave you that down payment, that means there's a kinyan on the entirety of the transaction. That kinyan on the entirety of the transaction means that you've got to give them the salt, the entirety of what you promised them.
I never, the term Eravon, is that...
Right, so we're going to see in a second, I'll show you in a second, that, right, I'm explaining it one way because I'll show you why, then I'm explaining it this way. Itmar Eravon. So we're talking about a ravon over here, right? This ravon is rabo mer keneged do hu koneh. A ravon, when you make these down payments over here, right? That is only keneged a ravon. Rabbi Yochanan amar keneged kulo hu koneh, against the whole thing that you are koneh. So this is the machlokes, right? Right. So that's Rabbi Yochanan the shita day that he holds that it's keneged kulo. So David asked, how do you know this word a ravon is a word that's used in other places? And the word a ravon means a guarantee. So make the big. That's the question. A notain a ravon the chaveril. So the person gives.
You see that there is some other definition of a ravon.
Right. So that's exactly right. So now a notain a ravon the chaveril. Someone gives a guarantee. Gives an object, not here as a down payment, but here as an a ravon, like the classic word a ravon, that it is a right guarantee, something, the object that will guarantee that this transaction will go through. Barmarlo, and he says to him, imani choser bi ervuni mechulach. If I back out of the transaction, you can keep this guarantee, the Eravon. If I back out, I'll double the Eravon. I'll pay you an additional Eravon. Now, the Rashi points out over here. He says, if you look in, Husavar, connect the Kone. If you look in that Rashi, it says, Imechirat Karkhu, Shnikne Bekesef, Kone Kinyan Gamur. That if it was a Mechirat Karka, that is Kone Bekesef, that Kesef, right, it's enough that you go kone kinyan gamur. V'imichirat metaltalim hu kone, kinegdo litchayev b'mishe parah. So if it's by a down payment by karka, right, it's clear that it would work in its entirety because kinyan kesef works by a karka. Kinyan kesef, which does not work by a metaltalim, what is the status of the kinyan at that pace? So his havamino was that against the eravon, against the down payment, there's a restriction of mishe parah. But the additional amount.
According to
Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, after the Takanas Chachamim, which is well, right, the Rabbanah doesn't work, and when they're Mafkia, the Kinyan Ma'ot, and they require Kinyan Mashicha, the Ma'ot that you gave as an Eivavon, right, as it gives out some sort of down payment, what is the status of that, right, money? So he thought, Rabbi Yosef thought that that portion that he gave was the only thing that was Mishapara, that you're not allowed to back out of. And Rabbi Yochanan comes to tell him, no, that Bekarka is a Kinyan Gamor, Umotautalim Kabel Mishapara on the entire amount. Now, Rashi points out, Anotein Eivavon, Lo dummy the high de'el. This is a totally different MRO. That over here, the original, the case of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chibri Yosef, and the Machlof Sutim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, are about what? They're about down payments, making a partial payment. Shukorin, Irish, I don't know, whatever it is. But this anotein or Ravon here is a not a down payment, but rather some form of guarantee. It's some sort of object. It's not about the transaction. It's not money. But some way that we guarantee the transaction. And this object is guaranteeing that we will go through the transaction because there's a disincentive from backing out. So we'll call it a penalty. Right? Some form of penalty. Right? Today, you have the same thing that when people have that called breakup fee. Right? Some sort of penalty that's associated with the transaction that if you back out, if either party backs out, that they owe, right? They're going to be penalized. So exactly what happens over here. If the one who gave the Erevon, gave the guarantee, backs out, he loses his guarantee. If the other one backs out, he says, I'll give you the double, right? I'll pay you double. I'll give you back your guarantee plus, right, an additional amount. So now this, there are three-way machlokas over here. So three-way machlokas. So first of all, it says, the first opinion is Rabbi Yossi. Nitkaimu atnayim to Rabbi Yossi. You do what you say, Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says, they agreed to this, they have to do it. If either party backs out, they're going to have to pay over here. Why? Rabbi Yossi the Tamei, Tamara, Smachto Kanyo. Yosef is going to his own shita, that's Smachta Kanya here, you don't have a real Kinyan. Why? Because both parties are giving the object or making promises about the Eravon, assuming they're not going to back out. Nobody promises and gives an Eravon with the intent of backing out. Right? So if you give out if here you have a fee or a knas or penalty, it's coming about. When you make the promise, you assume you're going through with the transaction. Right? Then if the penalty is then engaged because you back out, that wasn't what you thought, and that's going to be a Smachta Kanya. Same thing if you promise to give double back. Both of those indications, those Kinyanim are a Smachta. And if the smachta is Lokanya in general, but Rabbi Yossi believes the smachta Kanya. So if he believes the smachta Kanya, he says the transactions hold whatever they say they gotta do. So that's the first opinion. The next opinion is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dayo, Shikneh, Keneged Eravono. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's enough that he should get against the Eravon. What does that mean that he should get against the Eravon over here? Meaning that, Lo Zeim Chol, Lo Zeich Pol. You can't forgive the Eravon, and you can't double the Eravon. But you're locked in. Right, to whatever the right Eravon is. So the Eravon, you'll guarantee you have to fulfill the transaction up to the value of the Eravon. But beyond that, you don't have to fulfill the transaction.
Some of the things with the Eravon was the down payment that we're talking about.
Said, right, before. Although that's not where the question is from over here, but yes, that is similar to... Tosus points out over here that right, anyone may actually have zero flying with Ma'ot. Can't mean that he's giving him back double money when he says, I'll flip it back. Right? Right? Why should he, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why would he be koneh the mekach? Keneged Eravono. Against the Eravon. Elo omer, echvolucha b'mekach. That's what he has to say back. Meaning that if you say keneged Eravon, that he's going to actually get something back, keneged Eravon, then if you say that he's simply giving money back, and I'll double the money, then it's independent. That whole transaction, that side transaction, is independent of the agreement that they have. What you must say is that when he says echpolacha, he says, I will double, meaning that you're giving me a guarantee against a portion of the transaction. I will guarantee you back, right, a double portion of the price. Therefore, she didn't look in flyman mecha kenegada maot shenatano. Right, that'll give him double the amount, kenegada maot. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, dayom kone amekach al kochoshu mecher kenegada maot shenatan. Aval alokeach, im yotzeh lo yikach. Ki maot, ki yomar eni chavetz b'maat mekach. He says that the mocher is obliged then, but to hold up, he won't give double. But he has to give keneged the Eravon, because that there was a kinyan for. There's no asmachta, right? Because there was a real buy, in a sense. He gave him an Eravon against that amount. He says, Dayo, that's enough that he'll sell him the merchandise at that price, keneged the Eravon. Not double, but at that price. Now, he also says, Tosfos, that the Lukach doesn't have to accept it. Lukach can say, I want the money back. I want my Eravon back. Because he can say, I need 1,000 shekel. Give me 100 shekel, it's not going to help me. 100 shekel worth of merchandise, it's not going to help me here. I just want my money back. That he's entitled to say because he's not getting everything that he wanted. The other hand, but he can't force the Mocher to sell him the 100 because that he has the Eravon against. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now, the last
thing. What's the story behind that, according to Rabbi Yehuda? He says, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does he not have to stand with that?
because there's no kin, it's a kin esmachto. Esmachto is lo kanyo. So the portion, the double portion, he doesn't have to give, but he has to stand by the part that has Eirabon, which actually does have a physical kinyan over there, because Eirabon against the Mekach is the normal price. Mishapara.
Mishapara.
I don't know, but it hasn't been addressed here, but according to Rebuta, it sounds like not, because it's smack little kanyan, there was no kinyan on that part. That was
right.
Well, we saw
the
kinyan.
If we say that
Mishapara
is based on not being
able to throw. No, I'm a bit varos, ain't
well,
it's
best. We said
if
that
by Kenya Ma'ot,
if you
with,
have
both, right.
there is
Ma'ot,
not for that amount.
Right, so
we're not. It's not clear that you would say that. Here, there was some.
Right, I'm saying here, I don't know, but I don't think it's necessary that there's a Mishapara here. He doesn't address it. Rebuta doesn't address it. All Rebuta says is that instead, if 100 shekel is going to give him 200 shekel of merchandise, he doesn't have to give him 200 shekel of merchandise for the 100 shekel air alone. He just gives him 100 shekel against it. That's it. So now.
Although he would probably at least say that.
Ain't for sure. That's because he doesn't stand by his word, right? That's, so I'm Reb Shimon Gamliel. Bamed Varim Mamurim. When is this? Right? When is this true? Or when is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef? What's their discussion about? It's man shamarlo irvuni ikon. When he says my eravon will be ikon. Now the way Rashi reads irvuni ikon, right? He says shalo naknalo b'torat filat piron. He did not give it as a down payment over here. He did not give the eravon as a down payment, but rather el b'torat. Right, that he says that this Eravon will act as a kinyan on the whole amount, not just on connected the Eravon itself. Or not connected the Eravon, or not as a down payment. I mean, had he stated, had he made it into a down payment, or had he made it against the Eravon itself, then we wouldn't have any issue, because it either would be against the Eravon or be a down payment towards it. Problem here is that he says, he does something which is not possible. Tries to make a kinyan with the Eravon against the entire amount. That he's unable to do. So that's what Rashi claims the problem of Irvoni Ikon is. Tosfos does not like the explanation of Rashi. And he says that Tema, Daidif, right? He did even better. Menatan lo b'torat priya. Right? If he gave it simply as a down payment, right now this guy says, no, I'm giving it against the whole amount. I mean, that before we had a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, if I give it as a down payment, is it just against the down payment that there's a kinyan? Or is the down payment give you against, right, a lock-in against the entire amount? So here, where he says specifically that the Eravon is connected the whole amount, what's the safek? They're basically saying that the down payment is going against the whole amount, and that's what Rashi suggests. Tosa says he doesn't like that explanation. That what he says, Eravon Yikon means that my Eravon will be niknet to you if I back out of this. And that's what it means. V'gam mashma Yikon. And Yikon also means she'konel bo v'mechach shavyo yoter mikhte Eravon im tachzor b'cha. And Yikon means also that this Eravon will also get back from me a kinyan for you, double merchandise, if you back out of the transaction. That's what Tosfos basically says. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. So the Be'emad b'mim is mashma Eravon Yikon. It's either going to Rashi, it's a kinyan, he's trying to make a kinyan on the entire amount with this Eravon, which fails. Or according to Tosfos, it's basically what we described above, the deal that we described above that they're doing. Right? Aval, machar lo bayit, osadeh be'elab zuz. He sold a house or property with elab zuz, upar lo mayem chamesh mil zuz. And then he paid 500. By there, it's clear that the kinyan works. Why? Kana, umachzir lo at the shark. He's koneh, and he has to pay the rest, he has to make it up. Afil lo achar kama shanim, even after a couple of years. Why? Because by ma'ot, by karka, it's clear that ma'ot are konot, and you don't have to pay the full value of the karka in order for ma'ot to be konot. That we discussed yesterday in terms of how ma'ot work. Do they work with the fact that ma'ot is shivui, it's right, it's an exchange of value. And over here, what happens is, what happens if you only give him here half the money? It's still an exchange of value because 500 goes towards the value and the other 500 he accepts as a bone, as a chiyu. And therefore he's given full value. Or do we say that kinyan ma'ot, when it works over here, kinyan ma'ot works because it's a ma'aseh kinyan. So the ma'aseh kinyan by karko or by that's sufficient. Ma'ot are sufficient as a ma'aseh kinyan and it's over. The transaction's done. You can't back out of it. Okay, I owe money, but I still can't back out of the transaction. So my bav, so what is it? Who had in the metalkalin? The same would be true by metalkalin. All has to do with how the Eravon is functioning over here. Right? But whether you explain the Rashi or Tosfos, the failure, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, is how you use the Eravon. You use the Eravon not as a down payment, but rather you use the Eravon either as a guarantee by making it a penalty, or you use the Eravon, according to Rashi, as trying to acquire the whole thing, which you can't do. So either way, the failure was the way that you used the Eravon. But had you used the Eravon properly, which means you made it a down payment, it would work. Now, the example of Shimon Gamliel is by karka, but we would say, my lab was in the Talklin. Right? So Gemara says, Mistama, Kani Luhu, Lukuhu. Right? So that if Mistama, it would be acquired the whole thing. If you made a down payment, it would have been the whole amount, and you'd be subject to Mishapara, according to, right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yitzchak, should be subject to Mishapara when it comes to the Ma'ot. Lo. Gemara says, Metalklin, Bimistama, Bidistama, Lo Kani. Now, if he didn't say anything and he just gave it as what it would look like equivalent to a down payment, it doesn't work. What's the difference between karka and talitza? Karka, the big kaspo konilem, right? Then, when kashka, when you give money, it's kone, mamash konile the kula, right? So, therefore, when you give the money, we assume, bistama, that that's a down payment. Since kesef works as a kinyan by karka, and it's an effective kinyan by karka, we assume any money that's given is given in that right, in that form, or because of that reason.
Is
it
only
mishapara? Right?
I'm saying, you change his mind.
No, no, ma'ot by karka are solid, no, solid kinyan.
When you give it as a down payment in karka?
No,
so it's done deal.
Done deal. By karka, ma'ot, or konot, that's it. It doesn't
matter. No, that's part of the first part, right?
What?
Karka, the b'kazba, kanalei mamash.
All right, I'm sorry, right, you're right. Thank you very much. Yeah. Karka, the Gazba Gonile Mamash, by Karka, where Kesef is a formal, actual kinyan, and it works, you don't need a Mashicha, there's nothing else, Kesef works. Gonile Lukula. Therefore, over there, when we say it's a down payment, we don't look at it as an Erovon, we look at it as a down payment. Metaltele, the Lo Konile, right, the Koni, Ela Likbube Mishapara. There, by Kesef, it only works in order to have Mishapara on you. Lo Konile Kule. Therefore, when we give it Stam, we don't assume that it's a down payment, we just assume that it is in a Ravon, right? It's like a penalty that they're assigning over here. So I says, Lemaket tonight, let us say that it is a Machloket Tanayim. A Mavet Chareo a Mashkon. Person who lends money with a Mashkon. Benichnasa Hashmita. And here comes the Shemitah. What about with the Shemitah? Is Shemitah Kisafim. Even though it's worth only half the amount of the loan, the mashkon is only worth up to half the value. Shimon Gamliel says it holds on to the loan even though it's only worth half. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, Imayim Mashkon Keneged Halbato, Einu Mishamet, Imlav Mishamet. It has to do with value. If it's worth the total value of the halva, right, then it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't work. Now it's ambiguous what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi just said. What does it mean? It doesn't work. Right? When he said it works, if you have it against the entire loan, it works. When he says you don't have it against the entire loan, what does it mean it doesn't work? It doesn't work entirely, or it doesn't work beyond what the mashkon is? That's unclear from Rabbi Shimon. My inu mishamet. Right? So what is the mishamet to come out of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? That when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says inu mishamet, ilaymo kenegdo. If you say what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, inu mishamet, when he said the word inu mishamet, it means only against that which the mashkon is holding. That indicates that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi believes that it doesn't work at all, even against that part of the mashkon. El mashkon denoket nomile. So then, why bother having a mashkon? Meaning that the whole idea of a mashkon is that you're protected on a part of the loan. Why would you take a mashkon if it's worthless? Meaning in the sense that it doesn't protect any part of the loan. That's just from Shemitah Kesafim. But it's classified as if you collected the loan already. So if that's not the case, then why bother taking a mashkon? El alav. Shema mine. Right? So then, if that's the case, how do you explain it? Mayenu mishamet, the Gemara of Shimon Gamliel. When Rabbi Shimon says Einu Mishamet, it means Keneged Kolachol, right? That means Einu Mishamet Mekulo. So for half a Mashkon, right, I say you cannot, but you don't dismiss the whole loan. The whole loan is protected by half a Mashkon. Umay Mishamet to come out Rabbi Yehuda. And the see when it says Rabbi Yehuda says Mashmeet, Lahach Palga Dolo Nakitle Mashkon. Then he says, what? That it's against the half that you don't have a Mashkon. For the half that you have a Mashkon, that's fine. That loan won't be Mishamet. On the other hand, the other half, which you don't have much going for, will be mishmeit. Ubahakam iflagate. That's exactly what they're arguing about. Shumu me'al savar kineged kulohu konet. Right, that against the whole part he is konet. I mean, right? Here we classify it as a down payment of sort. This is a ravon. We classify it as a down payment, and therefore a kineged kulohu he is konet. His kineged kulohu is konet, and we don't worry about the fact that there's a loan in Shemitah because he has a mashkon against the entirety of the loan. The nasi savar kinegdohu konet. That only against the amount of the mashkon is he konet. So it's only konet against the mashkon, it's because he believes that the eravon, right, that amount is simply that. It is not a down payment connected kulo, but rather only a partial payment, we only look at what you've given so far, not that it allows us to extend it beyond that amount. Right now, lo, Gemara says no. My inu mishamet, we're going back to the original assumption. No, the inu mishamet, the mishamet, the ach palga. That's only that half. It protects the half that you have mashkon against. Did not get alei mashkon. Right, so then, we have the problem we just asked before. What do you need a mashkon? Well, the mashkon is really nothing then, because it's not protecting any part of the loan. Ella mashkon denokit lamaleh. So what are you holding out the mashkon for? Zichron devarim ba'alma. It's an indication, right? It's a way to indicate that he really owes you money, to remember that there's money. It's not a part, it's not used as payment, it's not used as protection against the loan, but simply to remind us that we have some sort of outstanding transaction because I have this mashkon, right? So that we don't forget about this outstanding transaction.
Specifically because the mashkon is worth less than the actual loan. If the mashkon were worth as much as the loan, in which case it could really be a payment.
Right, maybe you would suggest that. Right, maybe you could say that in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that the problem is that it's not worth the entirety of the loan, and that's why
it's kind of shows you that it was intended to be a payment.
Right. Very good. All right, we'll stop here.